السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ
أبا
بسم
عبد
الله.
الرحمن، يعني معذرتك تأخرت.
نعم
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، yesterday the bulk of our discussions were about Hajj and the virtues of Hajj. What do we seek to benefit when we perform Hajj? We mentioned about 7 benefits, but wallahi, there are many others that we did not even remember to mention. But I hope that from the 7 we mentioned, even if it were just one of them, if a person would not deliberately intend Hajj for the rest of the reasons, if he intends to be in Mecca for 2 weeks so that he can gain from the blessings of the manifolds of rewards for the salawat in Masjidul Haram in Jama'ah with the rest of the people, 100,000 better than the one you perform at home. You will be like that for 5 daily salah, and you will be like that for about 2 weeks. This itself is worth the while, bi-idhnillah. It is worth the energy and beyond for any individual to struggle to attain. Not to even now say that the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that hajjun mabrurun. لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ الْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورِ. A well-performed Hajj, far away from committing sins and indecency, and speaking words of sweetness to your family while in Ihram. Hajj well-performed. لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. It has no reward except Al-Jannah. And that if the individual performs the Hajj well, رَجَعَ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ, he returns as if he was on the day his mother gave birth to him. And that Hajj, as is in the Hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, we read yesterday also, itself and Umrah, يَنْفِيَانِ الذُّنُوبَ وَالْفَقْرَ, they keep away sins, they wipe away sins and al-faqr, poverty, from the individual. All these are huge benefits that the individual will benefit if he performed Hajj and he performs it properly. So we want to gain the benefits. We also want to perform Hajj properly so that we can benefit from these huge rewards that money cannot replace. Today, bi-idhnillah, we intend to discuss about the month of Dhul-Hijjah itself. The month of Dhul-Hijjah is the 12th month of the calendar of Allah that Allah has placed amongst mankind by himself. Allah himself has placed amongst mankind 12 months. He clearly told us that in the Quran. Inna iddata shuhur inda Allah. So it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The months are 12. 12 months with Allah. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has made us to understand how to exit one month and how to start another month. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created the months. He also taught us how to exit one month and how to start a new month. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, It made us understand, he said alayhi salatu wasalam, that sumu li ru'yatihi, we start the month of Ramadan when we find the month, li ru'yatihi, yani ru'yatul hilal. Sumu li ru'yatihi, fast when you sight it, when you sight the moon. Wa aftiru li ru'yatihi, we should also break the fast. So you start Ramadan by sighting the moon, the new moon of Ramadan. Wa aftiru, you also end Ramadan when you sight the new moon of Shawwal. Then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wansuku laha, an nusuk, the rest of your worship is also based on sighting the moon. So we sight the moon to start the month. We'll start, and we also end the month when the new moon for the other month also becomes sighted. Of course, the first moon of the first month, it will go yanderis. It will gradually clear off in the sky. And then the new moon will also appear. Allah even made it such that they will appear from different angles. The new moon will be going away from one part of the horizon, and the old moon will be going away from one part of the horizon, and the new moon will be emerging from another part of the horizon. So we know this is a new moon. That one that went away was the moon showing the end of the last month. All of these are from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has now made these months to be of virtues more than one another. Like the month of Ramadan, he made it to be of a lot of virtues that we know and talk about in the month of Ramadan. As for Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are the best days. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are the best days on the earth. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are the best days on the earth. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma, he said that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, this hadith is so clear cut. He said, ma min ayyamin afdalu inda Allahi min ayyami ashri dhil hijjah. Ma min ayyamin afdalu inda Allahi min ayyami ashri dhil hijjah. There are no days that are better in the law, in the sight of Allah, min ayyami ashri dhil hijjah, than the 10 days of dhil hijjah. Ma min ayyamin. Very clear. No day is better. No day has bigger virtues. No days of the year has benefits, rewards for the people, min ayyami ashri dhil hijjah, than the first 10 days of dhil hijjah. This hadith was reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Very clear. Ma min ayyamin afdalu inda Allahi min ayyami ashri dhil hijjah. There are no days that are of a bigger excellence before Allah, min ayyami ashri dhil hijjah, than the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. In another expression of this same hadith, collected by Al-Imam Al-Bazzar, the first expression came from Al-Imam Ibn Hibban and Abu Awana. In another expression, it says, afdalu ayyam ad-dunya ayyamul ashri. Someone can ask you, the best days on the earth. So, afdalu ayyam ad-dunya ayyamul ashri, the best days of the days of the earth, if they are 365, if they are 360, if they are 340, if they are whatever the number of days, afdalu ayyamid dunya, the best of the days of this dunya are ayyamul ashri, those first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Don't you find that Allah spoke about those days in the Quran? Allah vowed with them. in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah said, Wal-Fajr, Wal-Layalin Ashr. These Layalin Ashr are Ayyamul Ashr, those days of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made a vow with them. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Wal-Fajr, I swear by the dawn, Al-Fajru, the time when the dawn breaks. He made a vow with it, because that is the beginning of daytime. These things were created by Allah, and He alone makes a vow with them. Regarding and calling our attention to how these periods and these things that He made a vow with, how so excellent and virtuous they are before Him. So He said, Wal-Fajr, I swear by Al-Fajr, the dawn, the time of daytime commencement. Then He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Wal-Layalin Ashr, I also make a vow with the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he said, Wal-Layalin Ashr, and Al-Layalin Ashr, the 10 nights or days, because Arabs sometimes they say Layal and they actually mean Ayyam. So they use the both of them for themselves. So you can say 10 nights. When you say 10 nights, what do you mean? 10 days. You can also say 10 days. That includes also 10 nights. So when he said, I swore with the 10 nights, he's talking about the days and the nights of Ayyamul Ashri, Dhul Hijjah. Ibn Kathir said, Rahimahullah, Wal-Layali Al-Ashru, Al-Muradu Biha Ashru Dhul Hijjah. What Allah has said when He said, Wal-Layalin Ashri, in Surah Al-Fajri, what He means by that, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Ashru Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days, the month of Dhul-Hijjah. This is what Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Kama qalahu ibn Abbas wa ibn Zubayr. And that is the explanation of that verse by Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Zubayr, وَمُجَاهِدٌ وَغَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ السَّلَفِ وَالْخَلَفِ. Likewise, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, وَمُجَاهِدٍ, and Mujahid ibn Jabir al-Makki, وَغَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ السَّلَفِ وَالْخَلَفِ, and far much more than one, غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ السَّلَفِ وَالْخَلَفِ, far much more than one person, meaning many others, min as-salaf, amongst the early Muslims, wal khalaf, and those who came after them. This is the same thing Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, he said, rahimahullah, he said, wa hadha as-sahih, this is what is correct, alladhi alayhi jumhurul mufassirin. That is the view of the generality of the scholars of tafsir, min as-salafi wa ghayrihim, amongst those who had gone in the earlier times and other than them. Wa huwa as-sahih an Ibn Abbas, and that is what has also been correctly reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas. That's also the view of Al-Imam ibn Jarir in al-Tabari, who is usually referred to as Sayyidul Mufassirin, the leading amongst the scholars of tafsir. That's what, when Allah said, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ أَلْمُرَادُ بِهَا عَشْرُ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ, what Allah has said regarding وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ in Surah Al-Fajr refers to the first 10 days of the Hijjah. And that hadith we first read from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah clearly specifies it. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَفْضَلُ هِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَيَّامِ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. There are no days that are superior, afdalu, superior, better, more virtuous, more excellent in the Allah, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مِنْ أَيَّامِ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. in another hadith far more popular than the hadith that we just read. That is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, because it occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ma min ayyamin al-amalu salihu fiha ahabu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ayyam. Ma min ayyamin. There are no days al-amalu salihu fiha ahabu ila Allah, on which good deeds in them are more beloved to Allah. If you are looking for the days that the good deeds inside them are better, they are more desirous before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah likes good deeds on these days. They are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they are the days on which if you do good deeds in them, Allah likes it more than any other day from the days of the dunya. Any of the days, not even on the last 10 days of Ramadan. So if you are struggling in the days of Ramadan, it's 90%. Make your struggles in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah double, because these are the best days. Some of the scholars have discussed this matter, looking at, okay, which of the days are better? The last 10 days of Ramadan or the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah? Some of the scholars have said, oh, there is a difference between the two. In terms of daytime, the days of Dhul-Hijjah are better. But in terms of the night time, the nights of Ramadan are better. They took two things. They say in terms of daytime, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are better because it also includes the day of Arafah. So they say daytime, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are better. But in terms of night time, they say the last 10 days of Ramadan are better. Why? Because it has Laylatul Qadri inside it. Some of the scholars have this view. That is the view of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. That is the view of Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Adam al-Ethiopi. Before him, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ibn Abdul Rahim al-Mubaqfuri, who wrote Tuhfatul Ahwazi, the Sharh of Sunan al-Tirmidhi. They also have this view that what? The daytime, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are better. The night time, the last 10 days of Ramadan are better. They say because the daytime of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah includes Yawm Arafah, and the night time in the last 10 days of Ramadan includes Laylatul Qadr. So that they hold that tafsil. But there are others amongst the scholars, like Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, like Al-Imam Ibn Nasir al-Din al-Dimashqi and others, rahimahumullah. They say, As-Sahihu anna ashra dhil-hijjati afdalu lil-adillati al-mazkurati fi dhalik. They say, whether daytime or nighttime, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, its daytime are the best. They are better than the first, the next, the middle, the last 10 daytime of the month of Ramadan. Likewise, the nighttime of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they are better. Why? If Laylatul Qadr has been told to us to be khayrun min alfi shahr, better than 1,000 months, does it mean that it is the best? This hadith clearly says that the best of the days of dunya and the days of Ramadan are included in the days of dunya. So if the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that afdalu ayyam ad-dunya ayyamul ashri, the days of this dunya, the best of them. So if Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months, the nights of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are still better than it. That one only tells us the virtue of Laylatul Qadr. It does. It is not comparative. It does not tell us that it is better than all the days of the dunya. It only tells us the value of the night of Laylatul Qadr. But here it tells us the superiority of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah over all other days of the dunya. And one of the days of the dunya is the daytime and the night time in the whole month of Ramadan, including the night time on the day of Laylatul Qadr. I hope that it is clear. As-Sahih, that is what I consider stronger, because this one includes a comparative analysis of all the days and all the nights. It tells us that the best of them are those on the days of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. وَالصَّحِيحُ أَنَّ عَشْرَ ذِلْحِجَّةَ أَفْضَلُ. They are better. Why? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said to us that أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا أَيَّامُ الْعَشْرِ. أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا أَيَّامُ الْعَشْرِ. Allah also made a vow with the first 10 nights in the month of Dhul-Hijjah when he said walayalin ashr. We said that also includes the daytime and the nighttime of Dhul-Hijjah. Abdullah ibn Abbas also reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that ma min ayyamin al-amalu salihu fiha ahabbu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ayyam. There are no days, and that includes the month of Ramadan, both daytime and nighttime in the month of Ramadan. Ma min ayyamin العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام. There are no days, including the days of Ramadan, the best days on which good deeds are more beloved to Allah are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And that's why one of the scholars of our deen, Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said, "An-nasu fi ghaflatin an 'ashri dhul-hijjah." Many of the people are nonchalant regarding the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. "An-nasu fi ghafla," they are in oblivion, they forget themselves in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. People, "An-nasu fi ghaflatin an 'ashri dhul-hijjah." Regarding the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, the people are in a ghafla. They forget themselves in these months. فَعَلَى طَلَبَةِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يُبَيِّنُوا فَضْلَهَا لِلْعَامَّةِ. So the students busy with knowledge, عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْ يُبَيِّنُوا, they have a duty to explain فَضْلَهَا, the virtues of these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, لِلْعَامَّةِ, for the rest of the generality of the Muslims. They have a duty to explain. They have a duty to announce. They have a duty to publicize the virtue of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah to the generality of the Muslims. And this is what we are doing. Ikhwa, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, we should be ready for it with a lot of ibadat, with a lot of fasting. We are coming to these one after the other. How, after recognizing the virtues of this day, how do we get ready? We are just 3 days away. Today is the 27th day of Dhul-Hijjah. Today is the 27th day of Dhul-Qa'dah, a month before Dhul-Hijjah. We are just 3 days away. If it completes 30, we are 3 days away from Dhul-Hijjah. Today is the 27th day of Dhul-Qa'dah, the 11th month, and we are just 3 days away. To these days we are talking about, everybody should begin to get ready, everybody should begin to get prepared, everybody should begin to set focus for themselves. And from the first things everybody should be thinking about is At-Tawbatu Sadiqah, making genuine, sincere tawbah. Ikhwa, the first thing you should be thinking about, I should be thinking about, At-Tawbatu Sadiqah, returning to Allah in penitence, asking for His pardon sincerely. Allah said, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Each one of us, everybody, تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, everybody should return to Allah, asking for His forgiveness, asking for His pardon, asking for His penitence away from our shortcomings. And that is because, like Al-Imam Ibn Rajab said, Rahimahullah, he said, احذروا المعاصي, avoid committing sins, فإنها تحرم المغفرة في مواسم الرحمة, because in the months, in the periods of, in the mawasim, in the festivals, occasions, special occasions of Allah's showing mercy to the people, ma'asi tuharrimu al-maghfira, your sins will hold you back. You find a lot of people in the month of Ramadan, they go and bring out their Quran, they read the Quran first day, second day, by the third day they have abandoned it. They'll be waiting for Laylatul Qadr. The last 10 days of Ramadan will come, they'll pick the Quran, they'll read one page, two pages, they abandon it. Why? They are held back by their sins. So one way to get into these months is to ask for forgiveness, so that you are able to do good deeds that will count for you in this dunya and akhirah. You don't come into these periods of mercy and manifold of rewards with sins, loads of sins on your head, because those loads of sins on your head will prevent you from making good efforts towards success. The loads of sins on the head will prevent the individual. You intend to make Quran recitation, you will not be able to do it. You want to make nawafil, you will not be able to do it. You, at the end of the day, you get engaged in talk. You even want to fast, you wake up late. You give yourself excuses that you have ulcer and all of this. You will not be able to do good deeds, because before the month and that period came, sins are overloaded on your head. So that's why the ulama explained that at periods like this, we all should return to Allah, asking for His forgiveness, asking for His pardon, asking for His penitence, so that by the time the period commences, we are free, then we'll be able to do a lot of good deeds. We are not held back by the loads of our sins that we were upon before the period came. So, ikhwa, let each and every one of us begin to think about his failures, his shortcomings, his misdeeds, and begin to ask Allah for forgiveness, seek tawbah, make a lot of sayyidul istighfar. In our classes on Al-Adabul Mufrad, we learned Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani, wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahadika wa wa'adika ma stata'at. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sanat. Abuhu laka bi ni'matika alayya, wa abuhu bi dhanbi faghfir li, fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he told us about this Sayyidul Istighfar, and I hope that we remember. He said, anybody who says it will enter Al-Jannah, say it in the morning. If he passes away before the evening, Allah will forgive him. He will, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, he will be from the people of Al-Jannah. وَمَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مُوكِنٌ بِهَا, and anyone who says it in the night, believing in it, فَمَاتَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُصْبِحَ فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, if he passes away before the next morning, he will be from the people of Al-Jannah. Ikhwa, let us quickly begin now. Don't wait until the last 10 days. Begin to make genuine, sincere tawbah, returning to Allah. If you are upon a sin, something Allah hates and prohibits, drop it now. Drop it now. Stop it now. When you stop it, regret that you have ever done it before, and then be determined never to go back to it again. Then be asking Allah for forgiveness. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayhi. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum وأتوب إليك. We also learned, اللهم اغفر لي وتوب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. We learned that here in our class on Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. اللهم اغفر لي وتوب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. Abdullah ibn Umar said, if you sit down with the Prophet in a gathering, you hear him say this in one single gathering, you can hear him say it more than 100 times. Allahumma gfir li wa tub alayya. O Allah, forgive me. Wa tub alayya. Make me from those who will turn to you in repentance. And when I turn to you in repentance, grant my repentance. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. You are the one who favor people to return to you in repentance. You are the one who accepts repentance, Ar-Rahim. You will accept repentance and then you bless the person. You show mercy on him. So Allah, forgive me and show mercy on me. This should be our approach as we approach these best days, afdalu ayyami dunya, the best days on the days of the earth are these days that we are approaching. So as we make tawbah, the other side of it is we'll be avoiding committing sins. You can't be making tawbah and be deciding to go into sins again. Ikhwa, let us think about this and make benefits for ourselves from the deeds of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. We all should be thinking about is ada'u manasik al-hajj, going to perform hajj. If you have private jet, it's not late. Go and look for a hajj visa and go for hajj. It's one of the best deeds you can also perform in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The first one we talked about is asking Allah for pardon and forgiveness. That is clear. The second one is ada'u manasik al-hajj, going to perform hajj. The third one is as-siyam, fasting. From the days of fasting, tatawwur, is the days of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days. So we fast the first day of Dhul-Hijjah, the second day of Dhul-Hijjah, the third day of Dhul-Hijjah, up to the ninth day of Dhul-Hijjah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, one of his wives reported that kana rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yasumu tis'a dhul-hijjah, he will fast on the first 9 days of dhul-hijjah. Kana rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yasumu tis'a dhul-hijjah. One of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. It also occurs in Sunan of Al-Imam al-Nasa'i. And Al-Imam Ahmad also reported it. The hadith is Hassan. And many others amongst the early Muslims are upon it, like Abdullah ibn Umar, like Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, like Al-Hasan al-Basri, and so on, ikhwa. So the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, it has a fasting. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah has a fasting. So let us keep to it. The only day you will not fast on it is on a Saturday. And that is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has prohibited us from fasting on Saturdays, except that fasting is compulsory. Except the fasting is compulsory, like the fasting of Ramadan, like the fasting of the person who is unable to slaughter a ram in Hajj and he is mutamatti, that he can fast on a Saturday. Like the fasting of a vow. You vow, you are not able to fulfill the vow and you have to fast to atone for your vow. That kind of a fasting can come on a Saturday. Or the fasting of kafara. You have a kafara on your head, maybe kafara of Ramadan, jima in Ramadan, or the kafara that somebody's life went away from your own hand. May Allah protect us. All these kinds of fasting are compulsory. So if it is not a compulsory fast, we should not fast on a Saturday. The Prophet prohibited that and the hadith is sahih. We don't fast on a Saturday except it is compulsory. For all other days, Please, Ikhwa, let us fast these fasts in the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yasumu tis'a Dhul-Hijjah. He used to fast the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And let us place particular preference and attention to the fasting on the day of Arafah. If you don't fast 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of Dhul-Hijjah, don't forget, try to fast on the day of Arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam su'ila an sawmi yawmi Arafah. He was asked about fasting on the day of Arafah. Faqal, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, ahtasibu ala Allah, I anticipate from Allah, an yukafira sanata allati qablahu, that Allah makes it a means of forgiveness for the sins before that year. All your sins before, between now and the last day of Arafah, Allah would forgive you. Wasanata allati ba'dahu, if you commit any sins again in the coming 1 year, Allah will forgive you. So, Ikhwa, let us hasten to ask Allah's forgiveness and fast on these days. Let us fast on the days of Dhul-Hijjah. From the things we have to also pay attention to in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is Salat. Allah warned us in the Quran, He says, Hafizu ala Salawat. Preserve your Salat. Hafizu. The 5 daily salat, ikhwa, in jama'ah, in their times. Observe the salah in jama'ah at their appropriate times. Hafizu ala salawat. Preserve your salat. Observe your salah properly. Hafizu. Ikhwa, that means observe them properly. Observe them at their times. Please, Ikhwal, don't joke with your salawat. If you have been joking with it before, change now. Don't come into these best days, afdalu ayyamid dunya, and you are still managing joining salat to zuhur, asr, maghrib, isha. These kinds of attitudes are bad. They are from al-kabair, major sins. Don't come into this occasion of goodness and mercy when you are still joining salat. Ikhwa, pay attention to Salat. Pay attention to Qiyamul Layl, the late night prayer. You can observe your own immediately after Salatul Isha. You can observe it in the middle of the night. You can observe it in the last third part of the night. Qiyamul Layl. Al-Imam Sa'id ibn Jubayr. Sa'id ibn Jubayr was a student of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He was a Tabi'i, Jalil. Rahimahullah. It was reported that إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ, when the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah come in, اجتهادًا, he makes a lot of اجتهاد. He makes a lot of efforts in terms of worship. حَتَّى مَا يَكَادُ يَكْدِرُ. In fact, he will almost not be able to sustain what he does first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. He will fast, he observes Salah, he makes Sadaqah, he prays in the night, and he would always say, لا تطفئوا سروجكم ليالي العشر. لا تطفئوا سروجكم. Don't turn off your lights in the night, meaning don't sleep. Don't sleep in the night if you are not sleeping the last 10 days of Ramadan. Looking for Laylatul Qadr. These days, these nights of Dhul-Hijjah are better than that. More efforts in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So that is about Salat. From the things from the Salawat, we should pay attention to Adi Nawafil. Make your rawatib 2 units before Dhuhr, 2 units after Dhuhr, or 4 units before Dhuhr, 4 units after Dhuhr, 2 units before Asr. You can even make another 2 units immediately after Salatul Asr. It's from the Sunnah and it is established, and so on. 2 minutes, 2 units after Salatul Maghrib. You can even quickly make 2 units before Salatul Maghrib after the Adhan. You can make 2 units after Salatul Isha. The Prophet used to do so. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look for other nawafil, like Salatul Tasbih. You can make Salatul Tasbih on every day in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Write them down so that you don't forget. Make Salatul Tasbih. Salatul Tasbih has 4 rakats. When you start it, you say Allahu Akbar. You recite your dua al-istiftah as if normally you want to observe a nafila. You recite Suratul Fatiha, you recite a surah. Then you say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. You recite that 15 times after your Fatiha and surah. Then you go on ruku'. After your tasbih in ruku', Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, then you go on saying Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, 10 times. So you start first rakah while standing, you say 15. When you go to ruku, you say 10. When you stand up from ruku, you say 10. When you go to sujood, you say 10. When you sit down from sujood, you say 10. When you go back to sujood, you say 10 again. When you want to stand up for the second rakah, you sit down and say 10. That will be 75 for one rakah. When you say it, you stand up and start like that again. 4 straight rak'ats. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anybody who observes this rak'ah, salatul tasbih, Allah will forgive him all his sins. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy. He said, sagiraha wa kabiraha. Whether it is a minor sin or a major sin, Allah will forgive you. Allah will forgive you. Allah will forgive you, ikhwah. So pay attention to Salatul Tasbih also. From the good deeds in the months of Dhul Hijjah, especially on the first 10 days, is At-Takbiru wa Tahleelu wa Tahmeed. Saying Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, and saying Alhamdulillah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. When he spoke about the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَأَحَبُّ فِيهِنَّ إِلَيْهِ الْعَمَلُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ أَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ. He said, there are no days, ma min ayamin azamu indallah. There are no days that are of esteem before Allah than these first 10 days. Wala ahabbu fihinna ilayhi al-amal. And good deeds are better in them. No days supersede these first 10 days of the Hijjah. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّحْمِيدِ. All of you say a lot of tahmeed. وَالتَّهْلِيلِ. Saying La ilaha illallah. وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. Saying Allahu Akbar. This hadith occurs in شعب الإيمان by Imam al-Bayhaqi. It also occurs in فضل عشر ذي الحجة by Imam al-Tabarani. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, long ago, he grades this hadith Hassan. Likewise, Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah, in Al-Irwa Al-Galil, they say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, he said, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. Say a lot of tahmeed, saying Alhamdulillah, saying Allahu Akbar, saying La ilaha illallah. Likewise, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he told us that كان أبو هريرة وابن عمر رضي الله عنهما يأتيان السوق أيام العشر فيكبران ويكبر الناس معهما. أبو هريرة and Abdullah ibn Umar, يأتيان السوق, the two of them will come to the markets. إخوة, listen, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Hurairah, they will come to the markets أيام العشر in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah فيكبران ويكبر الناس معهما. They will be saying the takbir. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. إخوة, when you go to your office, say it. When you are in the bus, say it. You are in your private vehicle, say it. Wherever you are, say it. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد ويكبر الناس معهما. When they say that, the people will be saying it together with them. They will be saying it as they say it. ولا يأتيان لشيء إلا لذلك. Ibn Umar and Abu Huraira, nothing brought them to the market except to say it to the people, so that the people become conscious and begin to say it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. We should say a lot of tahmid wa tahleel. Saying alhamdulillah, saying la ilaha illallah wa takbir. And also saying Allahu Akbar in these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Adhkar, at-takbir wa tahleel wa tahmid. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الإمام ميمون بن مهران was amongst the تابعون. He used to say that إن الناس قد نقصوا في تركهم التكبير. The people نقصوا, they have not done well, they have fallen short في تركهم التكبير, regarding their abandoning this takbir on the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allah. We should say a lot of these. From the things we should also pay attention to in these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is as-sadaqah. Ikhwah, give a lot of charity. Your sadaqah in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is more rewarding than your sadaqah in the last 10 days of Ramadan. You know those sadaqah you are doing in the last 10 days of Ramadan? These ones are better than it. As Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said, rahimahullah, as-sadaqatu fi ashri Dhul Hijjah ahabu ila Allah min as-sadaqati fi ashri Ramadan. Sheikh ibn al-Uthaymeen said so. الصدقة في عشر ذي الحجة أحب إلى الله من الصدقة في عشر رمضان. The sadaqah you make in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, they are more beloved to Allah than your sadaqah in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Don't forget. الأعمال الصالحة, good deeds, أحب إلى الله, they are more beloved to Allah on these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah than any other days of the month, ikhwa, of the year, ikhwa. Let us all pay good attention to it. From the things we have to pay attention is, we have to prepare to slaughter our rams. We have to prepare to slaughter our camels. And slaughtering a camel is better than you slaughter a cow, then you slaughter rams. Ikhwa, the more you can slaughter, the better. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered 100 in Hajjatul Wada. Likewise, the brothers at Hajj. Many of us, when we pay for just one single ram at Hajj, we feel sufficed, and you have the capability to pay for 10. Pay for 10 rams for yourself alone. The more rams you slaughter, the better for you. When last did you slaughter a ram for Allah as a sacrifice for him, by way of showing your worship of him? When last did you do that? So don't restrict it to one single ram. If you have the ability, slaughter two, slaughter three, 4:5. In fact, in the earlier times, people used to send rams. They would tell Hujjaj, take this ram along for me to Makkah. Go and help me slaughter it in Makkah. Give it to people. Give it to the poor in Makkah. People used to do that too. They would send people to help them slaughter in Makkah. In our own times, we are stingy with what we have. We don't want to give Allah, but we want Allah to give us. Give sadaqat, O Allah. O ikhwa, give Allah. Give it to Allah. Allah will give you back. So slaughter for the sake of Allah. And nahru. For those of us who intend to slaughter a ram at home, those of our brothers and our wives and sisters who are not traveling for Hajj, when they are at home, we all should prepare. If you are slaughtering a ram, avoid taking anything from your hairs and your fingernails from the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah. We are just 3 days away. If you want to slaughter Ilaya Ram, Rabun Salah, you want to slaughter it, your Udhiyya, you can call it Udhiyya. If you say Udhiyya, it is correct. If you say Udhiyya, it is correct. And the Jamu is Al-Adhahi. You can slaughter it, whether you are slaughtering a camel, or you are slaughtering a cow, or you are slaughtering any of the al-ganam. Either of these three are allowed. They must just be from Bahimatul An'am, like Allah told us about. He said, لِيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. So if it is Bahimatul An'am, that is what we are allowed to slaughter. So that is Al-Ibil, the camel, Wal-Baqar, and the cow, and Wal-Ghanam. Al-Ghanam, those are the lower animals, smaller than these ones. They are divided into two. The Ghanam, we have the Al-Ma'z. Al-Ma'z, they are goats. Iwre, we call them goats. They are also, the Arabs refer to them also as Zawatu Shar. Those animals that have hairs, goats have hairs. The second group of them is Ad-Do'an. The Do'an are rams and sheep. You see, they are Zawatu Suf. They have wools on them. So all of these are allowed to be slaughtered. So you can slaughter a camel alone, 1 million, 1.5 million, Allah will reward you. You can slaughter it alone. If you can't slaughter it alone, you can combine with somebody. You can combine with somebody so you become two, you slaughter the camel. Or you can combine with two others, you become three, you slaughter the camel. You can become four, you can become five, you can become six, but not more than seven, as is in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhuma. The same thing applies to a cow. You alone can slaughter the cow, or you can combine, become two, or three, or four, or five, or six, or seven. Slaughter the cow. As for your camel, it must be at least 5 years old, going to the sixth year. As for the camel, it must be at least 5 years old, going to the sixth year, camels. If it is the cow, it must be at least 2 years old, ikhwa. The camel must be at least 5 years old, going to the sixth year, camels. Cow, malu, as Yorubas call it, shanu, as Hausas call it, and Fulani. It must be at least 2 years old. Don't slaughter a cow, malu, of 1 year old. I heard a video going around yesterday. It's a mistake. I think the brother should go back and reverse that statement. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تذبحوا إلا مسنّة. لا تذبحوا إلا مسنّة. do not slaughter an animal except musinna, yani asaniya. Don't slaughter an animal except it is musinna. The way, the reason it is called musinna is that it is big, it is good enough, musinna. So the ulama, they say musinna, as far as the ibil, the cow, the camel is concerned, it must be at least 5 years old, getting to the sixth year. As for the musinna, as far as al-baqar is concerned, the saniyu, it must be at least 2 years old, at least 2 years old, going to the third year. In fact, some scholars say make it be 3 years, so that the cow is fat, big. In the audio, it said the cow will be too big if it is 2 years or 3 years. Yes, we want it to be big. The prophet said we should not slaughter something except the one that is really big and chubby, well fed. Musinna, it has taken flesh. So that is what we should slaughter. If it is a cow, a minimum of 2 years, going to the third year. Some scholars say the third going to the fourth. As for saying that it is 1 year or 1 year and 1 month, this is a strange statement. It is shav, it is not proper, it is strange, far away from rightness. I think that statement should be reversed. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tadbahu illa musinnatan. Do not slaughter except those rams that are musinna, those animals musinna, they've taken flesh. All the scholars, and I do not know, I went deliberately to search. I have not seen the one who said that you can slaughter a cow that is just 1 year and 1 month. It's a strange statement. Please let us keep it aside. May Allah forgive the speaker and those who circulate it. And it's a mistake. So, but if it were the ba'an, if it's the ram or the sheep, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, illa an ya'asura alaykum. If the man is finding difficulty, he can't afford a camel, he can't afford a cow, he can't afford even a ganam, a goat that is 2 years old and above. He can't afford a ram that is 2 years old and above. فَتَضْبَحُ جَزْعَةً مِنَ الضَّعْنِ. In that case, let him slaughter a ram or a sheep that is jaz'a. If it is jaz'a, that is when it is 1 year and above. That should be for rams and sheep, 1 year and above. It is called jaz'a, 1 year and above. But if you are really capable for the rams, you should slaughter a ram that is above 2 years. If you are not capable, no problem. You can slaughter a ram that is 1 year, 1 year and above. As for the camels should be 5 years old at least. As for the cows, it must be at least 2 years old going to the third year. These are from the deeds of goodness that we must ensure we observe in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Don't forget, when you slaughter your animal, you must not slaughter al-awra, al-bayyinu awaruha, an animal that is clearly blind, awra, blind. The blindness is clear, visible. Awil marida, al-bayyinu maraduha, or an animal that is sick, clearly looking sick. Awil arja. Al-arja'u is maqsuratul arjul, an animal that has broken legs and is so clear. Awil hazila. Al-hazila is ma la mukhalaha. Some animals don't have a brain. You see that place as a depth. Let us avoid all of these errors in the animals that we will slaughter. We should also avoid qat'ul udhn, the animal that is maqtu'atul udhn, an animal that is, the ear is cut, even though this is just from the aspects of dislike. But we should avoid it as much as possible, that the ears are cut, or maksuratul qarn, or that the horns are broken. If it is just a minor thing, now, but if it is clearly, once you see the animal, you see that the horn is broken, it is not proper. Likewise, once you see the animal, you see that the ears are cut, it is not proper. Then from the deeds of these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is Salatul Eidain itself, Salatul Eid. We come to the Eid and observe Salah. It is after that Salat that we slaughter our ram. Don't slaughter before Salatul Eid. Some people want to say they want to do party or don't, so they slaughter. If you slaughter that one, it is just a meat that you have slaughtered. But if you want to slaughter the slaughtering of rewards that Allah has enjoined us to slaughter on the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, you have to slaughter it after Salat. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man kana dhabhun udhiyatahu qabla salati, falyadhbah makanaha ukhra. The one who slaughters his animal qabla salat, falyadhbah makanaha ukhra. Let him slaughter in its place another animal in its place. That is, if you slaughter an animal and it was before the Salatul Eid, you have to repeat the slaughter. Bismillah, I hope that before the day of Eid, we'll have another opportunity to remind, don't forget, we will remind ourselves again about the rulings on Salatul Eid and the day of Eid itself. Let us be full of dua. Ikhwa, make a lot of dua for yourself. In these days, afdalu ayami dunya, make dua for yourself. Don't be stingy. Make dua for your brother. Don't forget that the dua you make for your brother is more efficacious. You have an angel near you saying, Amin, walaka mithlu dhalik, saying that, may Allah accept your dua. May you also get the like of what you pray for your brother. We have learned all of these in our various classes. All those expressions of dua that we have mentioned to be efficacious, the manners of dua, ikhwa, this is the time to bring them into practice. Make dua, face the Qibla, dress properly, sit down properly, raise your hands to Allah. Start by praising Allah. Start by saying Alhamdulillah, including Salatu ala Nabi. Ask for Allah. Use ismullahi al-azam. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi annaka antallah. And all of these, we've learned a lot of. This is the time to bring them into practice. Hoping in Allah for Him to accept our dua, forgive our shortcomings, make us from amongst the people of strong iman, strong taqwa. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Make things easy for us, for our children, for our brothers, our families, our relatives. Grant us reconciliation with us, with our brothers, with our friends, with our colleagues, with the people we necessarily should relate with, but our relations are not fine. Allah, forgive us. Forgive us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. That, don't forget, was from the dua of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He will also always ask Allah that Allah should grant us reconciliation between us and the rest of our brothers, our friends, our colleagues, our wives, our children. May Allah forgive all of us. Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram. Ya Rabbal Alameen. I think we can stop here today to look at a few questions we may have about the Rahman.
Salawatu alaykum ya Sheikh.
Ameen, ameen wa iyaakum.
Question here is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ya Shaykh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Can I
intend to fast my meals Ramadan during Dhul Hijjah and earn ajr of both Ramadan and Dhul Hijjah?
Yes, big rewards, big rewards, big rewards, ikhwa, big rewards. Your rewards will be very big. You have more rewards for that fasting than when you fasted outside these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The same thing, if this is the time for your zakah, paying zakah in the first 10 They have more rewards than when you do them outside the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Note this is a general rule. The best time for the best deeds are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. No matter the deed, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Ikhwa, let us make haste. Let us tie up our belts and get ready with ourselves, our wives, and our children. Let us encourage ourselves regarding these days, that are the best days of the days of dunya. Afdalu ayyam dunya. Ya Allah, make it easy for us. Naam, Abba Abdurrahman. Ameen, wa antum fajazakum Allah khairan.
This question, please, are countries to follow the citing of the government, Saudi government, with respect to the crescent of Dhul Hijjah, or every country cite their like every other one?
You follow your country and those in charge of it. Those of us in Nigeria, if you are in Nigeria at home, follow whatever the Sultan says to you. Is the government in charge as far as beginning, commencing, and the affairs of the Muslims is concerned in Nigeria? Yes, the president is the head of the Muslims and non-Muslims, but the affairs of the Muslims, the president will take instructions or advice. The president will take advice from the Sultan. So the rest of the Muslims should follow their Sultan. He is the head. Follow him to start, follow him to end, follow him to make aid. Don't go and start making the aid by yourself. Don't insist. Don't go on saying things that are inappropriate. Follow your Sultan, it's your head. Don't become a bandit in this matter. May Allah protect us all.
Please, is there another fashion of the way Salat Tasbih is observed, like reciting the Tasbih 15 times before Surat Al-Fatiha and then another surah?
No, you recite Surat Al-Fatiha, you recite a surah, then you say your Tasbih. You recite Surat Al-Fatiha. You recite a surah and then you recite your tasbih. Is this clear? This is what is reported in the asanid, in the chains that are found regarding salat al-tasbih. The hadith of Abbas, reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. Naam, Abba Abdurrahman. There are a few questions here. I'd clarified the issue about how old should the cow to be slaughtered be. Is it 1 year and 1 month or 1 year and about? No. The cows and the camels. The camel should be at least 5 years old before it is slaughtered. As for the cow, it is at least 2 years old before it is slaughtered. Any less than that is a mistake from whomever has said it. Is this clear?
Now, Sheikh.
Yeah. There's a question, if the fasting of Arafah falls on a Saturday, are we allowed to fast it or we should leave it? It is clear we should leave it. It's like the day of Eid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us from fasting on the day of Eid, is it not? So as we are saying fasting in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, we understand that 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Eid, is not included. Why? We have been prohibited from fasting on the day of Eid. Because the days of Eid are days of food and drink and merry making. So the same thing applies. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us from fasting on the days of Saturday, except the fasting is compulsory. So if you're asking, can I fast on Arafah? I would just ask you, is it a compulsory fast? If it's not compulsory, then you leave it. There shouldn't be much question regarding this. It had been clarified during the class. We can ask a few more questions because of the period that we are in.
This one read, if someone is praying Eid at 10 a.m., since all mosques are around for the Eid, do it at this time. Can one slaughter his ram once he is aware that some groups have observed it by call or online information?
You should observe Salat. You should observe your Salat before you slaughter your ram. You should observe your Salat before you slaughter your ram. I hope that is clear.
Amen, Sheikh.
Yeah.
Another one, is it enough to make recommended prophetic dua during these 10 days?
Oh, Ikhwa, we have said all of these during the class. Make a lot of dua for yourself. The best duas are the ones that are recommended, like the day of Arafah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَفْضَلُ مَا كُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِّيُّونَ عَشِيَّةَ عَرَفَةَ. The best of what I would say, myself and the rest of the prophets of Allah, meaning the prophets of Allah also made Arafah. There are hadiths, and they were always at Masjid al-Khayf on the days of Ayyam al-Tashriq. The prophet, that's a hadith, he said, about 70 prophets observed Salah at Masjid al-Khayf, at Mina. That masjid you see at Mina, it was 70 made salah in that masjid. So Ikhwa, make a lot of saying La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. I think that was the dhikr of the day of Arafah in that hadith. I'm just saying that on those days, the adhkars that are encouraged, the adhkars that are encouraged are the ones that we should pay attention to. The adhkars that are encouraged are the very ones that we should pay attention to. I hope that it is clear. The adhkars that are encouraged are the ones that we should pay attention to. We should also make other dua. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged a lot of dua. He said regarding the day of Arafah that afdalu dua dua o Arafah, from the best of the dua that the individual can make is the dua that he makes on the day of Arafah. So Ikhwa, let us make a lot of dua. And as you make that dua, you continue to say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, on the days of Arafah. Just like on the night of Laylatul Qadr, as you are making your dua, you are saying, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anna. That's for Laylatul Qadr. But this time on Arafah, what you should be saying more is, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Together with the rest of the supplications that you have, say a lot of salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Prophet, Allah likes him so much, alayhi salatu wa salam. When you say salatu and salam on Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah likes you. He gives you what you want, even when you have not asked for it. He forgives you your sins. Whatever is your worry, Allah grants you. So say lots of salatu ala nabi. It also facilitates your dua. We have said a lot regarding these in our last few classes that we have. May Allah accept them all.
Amen. Another question is, can we slaughter a castrated, well-looking animal?
Yes. Slaughter a well-looking animal. Slaughter it, whether castrated or not. There's no blame, inshallah. Slaughter it. Is this clear? There's a question, can a woman slaughter her animal by herself? Yes. I know a sister who has been slaughtering by herself in the last 2 to 3 years. I encourage that she tried it. You get the men to handle the animal for you and you cut the animal by yourself as a woman. It is very good, very encouraged, because a zabh itself is ibadah. When you are slaughtering like this, Bismillah, Wallahu Akbar, when you do that, you are making ibadah. So, ikhwa, slaughter your rams by yourself. If a woman has purchased a ram by herself, or she has a gift of a ram, she should slaughter it by herself, Bismillah. I mean, wondering for the Zakum Bakhir.
Another similar question says, can we slaughter a ram on behalf of our late spirit?
Not just that. You can slaughter for them, because slaughtering is an ibadah. So as a child, every ibadah you do for them, you do for yourself, and you do anticipating that Allah rewards them, Allah will reward them for it. Make it as an ibadah. If they were around, they would have done it. So you slaughter it. There's no blame, inshallah. The question, are the ayamu tashrik 2 or 3 days after the day of Eid? Ayamu tashrik are 3 days. That's why it is called ayam. If it is 2 days, they will say yawma tashrik. So if they are ayamu tashrik. The first is 11th day of Dhul Hijjah, the 12th day of Dhul Hijjah, and the 13th day of Dhul Hijjah. They are the 3 days of At-Tashriq, the 3 days of eating and festivity. The 3 days of eating and festivity. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Wa ayyamu at-tashriq Eiduna Ahlil Islam. Ayyamu at-tashriq Eiduna, the days of Tashriq, 11, 12, 13. They are the days of our own celebration. Ahalil Islam, we the people of Islam. Wahiya ayyamu aklin wa shurbin. They are days of eating and drinking and felicitating. But don't forget, ikhwa, people should not go beyond limits in terms of drinking alcohol, serving alcohol, and all of these. They are unlawful. They happen in some places. May Allah prohibit us from that. How can you be celebrating the mercy of Allah with something that Allah has clearly prohibited? The same thing, women, when you dress to the day of to Eid, dress properly, cover all whatever design you design yourself, cover it up. Your lace, don't let it appear under your jilbab. Some people wear jilbab, they want to show the lace under it. That is tabarruj. You cannot come to serve Allah and then you deliberately disobey Him. Dress properly, whatever you wear, cover all of them with jilbab until you go back to your wife, or until you go back to your husband at home and your children, your immediate family, who can see you dressed in ornaments. That is when you should undress your jilbab. But avoid that you come to the Eid and you are showing the rest of the people what you have worn under it. This is from the aspects of Tabarrujul Jahiliyyah, and it is prohibited in our religion. I hope that we pay attention to it. Bismillah, we'll come back to the issues on Eid, how we should handle our Eid. May Allah accept it. We are just 3 days away from the beginning of Dhul Hijjah. If you are slaughtering a ram, start shaving your head or cutting your head and your fingernails, because the sunnah is that you have to wait You have to wait until the 10th day before you are able to do that after you slaughter an animal. If you want to slaughter an animal, don't cut your fingernails and don't shave your head. The Prophet said so. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. I hope that it is clear, inshallah. About Iman, I mean, we have spent the day deliberately so that we can answer as much questions as is possible. Can we call it a day now?
No, Ya Sheikh.
May Allah accept it all. Ikhwa, don't forget, all of you, when you make dua for me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fikum, Ya Sheikh.
Ameen wa fikum, barakallahu.